Joining us now from District 58A, we are very happy to have, and a little surprised to have, Representative Christy Purcell in.
Surprise!
Hi, how are you?
Well, it's a good news, bad news situation that I'm here in person.
Okay, well let's jump right in.
Yeah.
How are things going with the budget?
Well, the good news is I'm here in person.
Yes, it is.
I want to be more excited about that because I am very happy that you're here, but that means what?
So then the bad news is probably I'm not going to be done with my job on Monday, May 19th.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Well, I mean, we don't have what we call global target number, global budget target.
Yeah.
So my experience thus far, this is my third session. Mm-hmm. My first two sessions was the DFL trifecta.
Yes.
And I didn't realize that we basically like skipped a step where before all the budget bills came from each committee area, we had agreed upon dollar amounts and targets
mm-hmm.
that was agreed upon by the governor, the Senate, and the House.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we called those shared budget targets.
Mm-hmm.
So we did not have that this year.
Oh.
So the House has been working with, so in each of our committee areas, the House has been working with our own targets.
Mm-hmm.
The Senate has been working with their own targets.
Right.
And the governor has his own ideas about his
targets.
Yes,
he does.
So there has been, it's been a long time that the leadership between all three of these entities have been in discussion about numbers that all three can live with. So I didn't realize that when we did this before, because we just started with that, that helped us at this time of year. I guess I had a hunch when I learned that we didn't have the same numbers as the Senate. I was like, uh-oh. And that is the moment we are in. So leadership is still negotiating the overall budgets for all of the different areas.
Okay.
And so that means even though I'm on a conference committee and we're going to meet for the first time today, this afternoon.
You don't have anything to
conference. We don't have numbers. So what we're doing is we're doing a side-by-side comparison of the House, what we've passed off the floor, and then what the Senate has passed off the floor to see what is similar and what is different. And my guess is nothing is similar. So I will be very interested to see what the Senate has come up with.
It is one of the things about, I love the American governmental system. I do. I think it's.
I'm a big fan of democracy.
As am I,
yes.
Right? But even the execution of everything, I think it's an amazing system. But conference committees have always just confounded me.
I wish the process was more transparent, and I wish we had more time. And I'm not saying the answer to all of this is full-time legislature, but I think the answer to some of it is a full-time legislature.
Would you be in favor then of a full-time legislature?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because guess what? Our friend Gordon Moore and the judicial branch, they work year-round.
Oh, they are full-time, absolutely.
The executive branch, the governor and all the agency staff, and they work year-round.
Yeah.
And you know who doesn't is the third alleged co-equal branch of our government, the legislative branch.
Yes, because you're the most expensive branch.
Probably.
Right?
But I think in 1972 is when we moved to a having session every year.
Yeah.
It used to be only on budget years before then, and it was nonpartisan. So 72 was like a huge shift in how Minnesota governs.
Can I ask you, this you might not want to answer this, and I understand. All right. Do you get paid year round or do you only get paid during the session?
It's like a teacher. So I get paid year round.
Okay.
But I get paid my per diem when we're in session.
Okay. Well, which makes sense.
Because
right?
I'm commuting almost 100 miles round trip.
On a daily basis.
Capital. Yep.
Or you know, whatever. So it wouldn't really make that much difference if we went full time. I mean, the per diem is would be an expense, but
we would need to then be paid for our work full time, which we do year round, even if we're not in that building.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yes. So they basically what the reasoning is, you guys are only doing work 5 months of the year,
yeah.
which is false.
Yeah.
Which is false. But we only get paid for doing work five months out of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely an expectation that we are meeting with constituents, that we are drafting bills, that mm-hmm. we are meeting with lobbyists, mm-hmm. that we are showing up to events to which we are invited as elected officials, and none of that is.
So if you were full time, do you think that first of all, I mean, there would never be a need for a special session or anything like this. But do you think it would make for a more streamlined approach to the budget?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, it's going to take till the last minute till people start to care about something. And there has to be a deadline. So I don't know that there would necessarily never be a special session. I mean, what we've seen, like Michigan recently, I think Michigan and Colorado are the two states who recently went from part-time legislature to full-time legislature. And they do it a lot like Congress, where there's sort of a fall session,
yeah.
and then they have a, you know, recess, they're back in district for a month or something. And same thing with, you know, there's a summer break, there's a holiday break, there's, you know, sort of built in there. So I imagine that there would be like a budgeting season, and then still have like deadlines and need to get our work done in time.
Yeah.
But I will say, so a colleague of mine asked, when is the last time under divided government where we didn't have a special session? And I guess the answer is 2007.
Wow.
Which I thought was interesting, you know, like sort of pre-Obama years where things maybe started to feel more polarized mm-hmm. and less working together-ish. So that was disheartening for me. And right now our system is that only the governor can call a special session.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that this governor is inclined to call us back in so we can finish our work. But in 2010, it's 2020. The budgets didn't get decided on, and we had a big surplus at that time.
Yes.
But Republicans walked away from, even with the handshake agreement, they walked away from closing the deal. And the governor didn't call people back, which was part of why we had this even larger surplus when I came in.
Right.
After the 2022 election, because that money just hadn't been spent. Mm-hmm. And that was a non-budget year. So we didn't have to have a budget in order to keep government running.
Yep.
That was just the sort of bonus funds that could have been spent that got walked away from.
Interesting. So, which conference committee are you on?
I am on the Environment and Natural Resources Conference Committee.
Okay. All right. You guys passed your bill in the House.
Correct.
Right?
It was what we call a lights on bill.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So it's just bare bones.
It's bare bones. No increases for the agencies, which we oversee, which is the DNR, the Department of Natural Resources, the MPCA, the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, BOWSER, the Board of Water and Soil Resources, and the Minnesota Zoo.
Okay.
Those are the agencies that we make the budgets for. So our target was a $10 million cut.
Ooh.
And so we just cut money from the agencies and called it good. And that is definitely not what the Senate did. And I don't have details of what they've done, but I'm going to find out this afternoon at 1 p.m.
The Senate did not come in, though.
No, the Senate had a positive budget target.
Oh, they did.
So they actually could increase spending. And what's so interesting, I find interesting with the Environment Committee, is that the DNR, these places, they have other revenue streams besides the general account.
Mm-hmm.
Besides the general fund. So there's a lot of specialized accounts that we can direct where that funding goes, or we could increase fees, say on ATV permits
mm-hmm.
or other things, like the DNR has like a million different, you know, permits and fees and things like that.
Right.
And so we did not touch those because the agreement with our power sharing agreement and with the tie in the House, the Republicans said absolutely no new revenue raisers. So our hands were tied. Now the Senate and the governor aren't operating under that constraint.
Okay. I'm sort of trying to imagine the, I'm trying to not use the word bureaucracy and all this, but like the details that it takes to get into a situation like that, because you've got the numbers on your side, you've got the numbers on the Senate side, but you've also got to make it fit into the overall budget too. Like there's a number that you have to hit.
That's right. And that's why we can do nothing more than just walk through the side by sides of the bills today because we don't know what our target is.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm hopeful Monday, maybe we will have targets then, and you know, across all the committees, so that then we know what we're working with.
Mm-hmm. That would be like trying to pay my mortgage, but not being told how much I have to pay.
Uh-huh. Or how much is in your bank account.
Yeah, exactly. But you're just going to guess at it and just right. kind of see.
So today, you know, today's just sort of the overview of them getting familiar with what's in our budget and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. But we can't do anything. Yep. We can't take any action because we don't know what we're working with. So.
Wow. Who else is on that that conference committee with you?
So it is the co-chairs, Josh Heintzman from Nisswa area from the Republican side, and Peter Fisher, who's from like the Northeast Metro on the DFL side.
Okay.
I'm the co-vice chair, so I'm on the committee. Representative Lee Finke, who we affectionately call the Tree Lady. She was sad there was no money for trees in our bill, so she's hopeful maybe if we get a positive budget target, we can have some money for trees. And then on the Republican side is Isaac Schultz and Nathan Nelson.
Okay.
And I know Nathan pretty well from the Ag Committee. We were both on the Ag Committee. We actually have some mutual friends up in his neck of the wood in Pine City, Pine County area. And so we've had a positive working relationship before. And then the senators, okay, let's see if I can get this.
Yeah.
The senator, the Republican senator is Senator Green, who I have never met. I don't think I could pick out of a lineup. So I'm interested to meet him. Chair Fong Her, he represents St. Paul. Their vice chair, Jen McEwen from Duluth. Mary Kunish, she's from a northern suburb somewhere. And who's the last one? Oh, this was a really good quiz for me.
I love to put you on the spot.
And there's another Democrat.
Another Democrat. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Apologies to that Democrat who is not listening to this, but
yeah, exactly. Okay, so let me ask you, like this, like as you are going into, I'm sorry, we've got a little breaking news.
Oh,
there has been a an accident at the roundabout at Jefferson Park and Jefferson Road, the mini roundabout. Mm-hmm. School traffic cannot get through on Jefferson. So if you're trying to get to school and that's your usual route, you got to rethink it. Go up Woodley instead.
We got to get all those kids safe to school.
Yeah, absolutely. The big problem there, I think, is Bridgewater. The middle school,
it's
too.
Middle school, high school now. Bridgewater will be a problem in 20 minutes.
Okay, well, there we go.
25 minutes. Yeah. Hopefully it can get cleared and everyone's okay.
Anyway, so an accident at Jefferson Parkway and Jefferson Road. Please use other routes. Everybody use other routes. Let them clear that out. But especially if you're trying to get to school, you've got to make some other arrangements. Okay. Back to where we were going. Now, I'm kind of wondering about the dynamic of a conference committee, because you guys are coming in. You all know you got a big, complicated job in front of you. But you also know that, like, last day of school is in, like, 6 days. Unless you don't get your work done, right?
We're trying to get our work done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there a sense of urgency, I guess, is the question.
We don't want to come back.
Right.
And the committees that have passed bills from both chambers and are going into conference, I mean, I feel a responsibility of, yeah, if we need to get our work done, and if there's other committees that are still held up, okay, well, if we have to deal with that in a special session, let's not have our own stuff to deal with.
Right.
So trying to clear this off the ledger definitely feels pressing.
This would be your first special session.
Yeah, I don't want that to be true, but yes, hypothetically.
I'm looking forward to kind of getting a view of it from the inside out, be it this year or whenever. It's inevitable. If you're going to be in this office for a long time, which we kind of assume you are. No?
I have committed
breaking news.
I've committed to running for office again in 2026.
There it is. Okay. Well, hey, there you go.
That's the only commitment.
Representative Christy Purcell has just announced her candidacy for re-election in 2026. There we go. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we wish you great luck.
Thank you. We will need it.
Thank you for all the hard work you're doing up there.
And you better not see me next Friday. It's really bad news if you see me next Friday.
Yeah.
Because I anticipate having to work all through next weekend.
I'm going to roll.
Monday is our.
Please tell me the leadership is working all through the weekend.
Yes, this weekend.
Yes.
They are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Well, we appreciate everything you do for us. And as much as we enjoy your presence, yes, we hope we don't see you next Friday.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And then hopefully there's a session wrap up I can give.
Oh, I can't wait to do that.
And then if we do have a special session, hopefully it's brief, you know, a one day or just a couple days to like boom, 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 tick things off the list. And then because we don't want pink slips to have to go out to state employees, which I guess is a 30 day. So if we don't have stuff figured out by
June 1st,
we have until July 1st to get our work done. But, you know, layoff notices would go off for furlough, for a state shutdown. Like,
and
no one wants that.
If you do not pass a budget by July 1st, the state shuts down.
Yes.
So let's not get there.
So we're trying to avoid that. I have no plans to leave the state between now and the end of June.
Okay.
All right. So I'll be around.
Thanks,
Thank you for having me.
It's good to see you, Christy.
Yes, take care.